How would you like the vernal equinox yourself? Has Beethoven finished that eighth yet? I'm pretty tired sitting around. Good evening, anybody. This is Henry Morgan. That ought to do it. That's as much of a statement as I can possibly. I'd like a word or two with the high school set, if I may. No, not you. I want the wise guys. The ones who write letters beginning, "Dear Mr. Morgan, it may interest you to know that." And then they point out a mistake I made. Usually something frightfully trivial, of course. And then the rest of the letter is taken up with assorted gems of abuse. You're the guys I want to talk to. Listen, Weisenheimers. Does any one of you know Washington's Gettysburg Address? Of course you don't. Yes, I said Washington's Gettysburg Address. I'm not out of my... I'll give you a couple of moments to sit around and sneer and to dash frantically to your history books. Won't do you any good. Your few moments are up anyway. But I know Washington's Gettysburg Address by heart. If you hear coughing in the background, there's something wrong with your radio. There's nobody here. Well, I'll recite it for you, and after this, I want a little more respect out of you guys. As of October 1794, Washington's Gettysburg Address was a joint called Russell's Tavern, Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. Oh, well, maybe that's not as cute as I thought it was going to be. But it's a fact, nonetheless. During the so-called Whiskey Rebellion, while Washington was president, he did go to Gettysburg, and he stayed at a tavern owned at that time by a man named Russell. You don't care, huh? Listen, I'll give you a tip. Very, very few people listen to this program. So you can use that story as a sort of a parlor trick, see? Nobody else will have heard it. It's the truth, too. Still don't like it, huh? Okay, that's the way you want to be. Maybe you'd like my new cold remedy. Everybody knows that the common cold has science up the creek, paddle less. I have the cure for the common cold. Anybody interested? Any takers? Man over here will take one. All right, mister, just a minute. Be right with you. Of course, this is just my way. You may not care for it. When I catch cold, I know it can't be cured, so I pamper it, encourage it, build it up. If I do it right, it turns into pneumonia. Well, science can cure pneumonia. So that's how I get rid of... Well, I laughed at Fulton once.
Far up within the gates of heaven, a little baby angel, they took this baby heaven.
Hold it, boy. You've got Yugoslavia.
Watch this angel.
We have with us in the studio this evening Mr. Strabismus L. Snag, a listener who wrote in to complain of... What was it that you wanted to complain about, Mr. Snag?
Well, that was about radio. And as a matter of fact, it still is. First thing I'm mad about is announcers who.
Announcers who?
Yes. Announcers who open a program like this. They say, and here's the star of our show, Joe Bananas, our lovely songbird, Eloise Fendang, and yours truly, Hobart Busby.
Well?
Don't you see it, Jack? Yours truly, he says. Like he was one of the stars. And you know what he does? The commercials.
Yes, I know.
Well, did anybody in his right mind ever tune in to hear the commercials? Where does he get that yours truly stuff? He ain't mine truly. He's no attraction to me, that boy. What's he giving himself that bill for? What's the...
Well, if that's all you have to complain about...
It ain't. Tomorrow at the same time.
I beg your pardon?
Tomorrow at the same time, I said.
You're coming back?
No, I'm against it.
You just lost me, Doc.
You tune in the radio, you hear a fellow say, tune in again tomorrow at the same time, all right? So you tune in the following day at the same time, and what do you get?
I don't know.
Well, I do. You get the same fella. And he's saying, tune in again tomorrow at the same time. Well, the program's over again before you even hear it. So you tune in the next day at the same time. The same fella is still, I don't...
I get it.
What he ought to say is, tune in again tomorrow 15 minutes before the same time, see?
Well, I'm glad you found time to drop in, Mr. Snagg. Oh, when can I expect you back?
Tomorrow at the same... Well, I mean, figure...
Mm-hmm. Back to the beginning. Further. You know, this could be a very entertaining program. People seem to be avoiding you. Haven't you wondered when you read the ads whether those soap things, those toothpaste things, those scalp things, horrible as they may be, are meant for you? Did you ever stop to think that even if you use those things that make a rose bush out of you, that people still may avoid you? Did you ever stop to think that possibly you're a pain in the neck? And that's why you have so few? In the hopes that you realize you're a natural-born social outcast, the Gobbledygook Company presents this program. Gobbledygook makes sponsors words. You've often heard an announcer say, and now a word from our sponsor. Where does he get that word? From the Gobbledygook Company. Among the other words made by this company are the word in... What's the good word? They make that one. The word that is always got from... You know, we just got word from Joe. Joe got his word from the Gobbledygook Company. In this country, almost every day, two people somewhere have words with each other. Words made by the Gobbledygook people. And now the Gobbledygook Company presents Word Origins, an information service for people who ain't got nothing to say. Take the word incinerator, for example. The first syllable, in, comes from the Greek word halos, which means amphitheater. This relates to the Sanskrit inlos, or fruit stand. The word for fruit stand was originally in pub, in Vulgate Latin. Later, it came, of course, to mean rotten egg. The second syllable, sin, C-I-N, is from the old High German Schweizkopf, or steam table. Now, of course, in those days, they didn't have any steam tables, so they changed the word to Vernichtungs, or Dummkopf, meaning, look stupid, this table has no steam. As the word got older, it was changed to Schnappstein, steamless. And then it got to mean simply hot. So far, we have rotten eggs hot. The suffix erator is from the Greek word erator, meaning this is the end of the word. From that point, it's fairly easy to see how in our time incinerator came to mean incinerator instead of other things. Take the word radio telegraphy. which is two words, for one thing. Reed is from the Greek god Redcliffe, god of mill hands, fire engines, and poor box thieves. Where was I? Oh, yes. From Radcliffe, we get the word cliff, or ledge, from the Roman god Legerdemain, who had very slight hands. The word telegraphy is from tele, to bind with wire, or simply to wire, and graph comes from the Greek graphein, to write. From this, we got Western Union. The radio we got from Marconi. Take the word as. Aid S. This has a fascinating history or entomology, if you're talking about bugs. Originally, the word was Fastambangloth. Famous statesman who later went to Norway. From his name, we get bang, loud noise. Loth, which doesn't mean anything and so isn't used much anymore. And Faust, which word, Faust, children still use when speaking of frozen dew. Faust. If I've been able to help in any way, I'm glad. That spring, such a delicate, lovely season, should sound so terrible?
Vernal equinox.
Yeah, but it's vernal equinox. That could be cut off the air, you know. By implication. And if you're listening, Harry Implication, I'll thank you not to cut this program. The old man in Minnesota, many years ago, who told me this story. The old man in Minnesota who told me this story many years ago was the one it's about. The old man was. This is a straight story. He was a wonderful old guy I once knew with a fine sense of humor. And it used to be a neighborhood habit to drop in on him once in a while. He owned a haberdashery in Duluth. And we'd ask him to tell his life story, which, with a twinkle in his eye, he invariably did, because he enjoyed it. This is what he said. This is true, by the way. 20 years ago, there was born on the rocky bounded coast of Norway a little baby. Well, sir, what was he born to be, his parents asked themselves. Was he born to be a traffic policeman? No, sir, certainly not. Was he born to be a trolley car conductor? No, sir, certainly not. Well, then, what was he born to be? He was born to be the most distinguished merchant in the West End of Duluth, Jan Jesus Moore. And that's who it was. True story. Very seldom tell them. What did you miss? Evidently, some of the adverbs dropped out going from here to the control room. Morgan will be on this same corner in front of the cigar store in New York City every night at 6:45, I think I'm on. And on the other cities around and about, sometimes on Thursday.
This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.
It's 7:45 at KECA, Los Angeles.